I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Ooh. Wake up, mister.
What's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Coming up this hour, a treat for our listeners of the fourth hour. Stunned to a news, which will be the first time we've done this in hour number four since we took over the new time slot back in early January. Also, advanced analytics on the poll question. Do you want to hear two people argue on the radio during your morning drive? We had Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer, join us. He thinks that Joe Burrow would be a moron to push back against getting drafted by the Bengals. He is pushing back against the narrative that they don't do enough to win. And so I was having a conversation with him. I did not want to engage in a knockdown dragout. I did not think people wanted to wake up to that. However, it appears that more of you have an appetite for fighting on the radio than I assumed. We are asking you to answer the poll question on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Rob in Topeka tweets, I felt the tension over the air here in Kansas between you and Pete. I liked it. Put on the boxing gloves. Alley brawl.
All right.
Fightin' Amish tweets, Damon, if I wanted to hear arguing first thing in the morning, I would still be married.
She's a bad girl, Damon.
Headley tweets, that argument is something we all needed. It was actually refreshing after the beating Mraz has taken the past couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
Ben tweets, Mraz has some great heel work in the morning, but everything before that interview has been fun, good old times, just like overnights. Have fun on the air.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Page tweets, DA, the conversation between you guys was not a fight. It was a thoughtful discussion, but the past few weeks with you and Bogish fighting or shouting with or about Mraz was so uncomfortable, it was difficult to listen.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Travis in Houston tweets, love the fight in the morning. A little mothership madness is better than any cup of coffee going into the office. Be aggressive, be aggressive. Okay, so like I said, I may have underestimated your appetite for a little hostility in the morning. You can vote at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Well, that's a problem. If you missed the interview with Pete, you can listen to that in its entirety. CBSSportsRadio.com. That's DA on demand. Also, full hours of the podcast are always available. And now, for your enjoyment, we have the best of the show, a condensed version to an hour and 15 or an hour and a half of the best of the DA every single day. Tony Clark of the MLB Players Association defending the union against the idea that they stood in the way of a true investigation and or punishment. Rob Manfred basically saying, look, I couldn't punish any of these guys because of the union. I had to grant them immunity just for some honesty to get to the truth of the matter. Here was Clark in defense of the union.
We believe that the rules that were in place, independent of that, meant that players weren't going to be disciplined. As a matter of fact, the language suggests that only club and club personnel can be disciplined for whatever it is that a player may have done. So that's how the conversation started. So the bit about immunity, I know it's gotten a lot of play, but the conversation began with a position that players couldn't be disciplined, which was then followed up with the first call that was had, suggesting that players, there was no intention to discipline players.
Look, ultimately this falls on Rob Manfred because he had one of three options. Number one, battle the union, suspend these guys, and know that you're in for a fight over grievances. Number two, grant the immunity to the players, but strip them of the World Series. Or three, here was the track he took, grant them immunity and don't vacate anything, leaving everybody unsatisfied because there's no punishment for the players. He chose door number three. He could have fought the union and perhaps lost. He could have vacated the World Series and not fought the union. Or he chose door number three. So Rob Manfred ultimately has this on his hands. He created the situation and the perfect storm where a team involved in massive cheating did not pay the proper penance, that the players did not pay the proper punishment, that the audience and the players, the opponents, and the league at large felt was fair. Rob Manfred's conclusion was, this is a player-organized cheating scandal, and the players didn't get punished. And nobody feels good about that. And then Manfred haphazardly has kind of futzed his way through this and said stupid things, and then the Astros did him no favors by futzing their way through their press conference. And then Jim Crane did him no favors by shirking all of the responsibility. And the whole thing has felt like you didn't punish the Astros. The Astros still don't get it. And everybody's bothered by this. Okay, so that's a Manfred thing. And the Astros have helped this look worse. Had the Astros taken the right tone, had the Astros tried to make this right, there were ways to do it. Jim Crane could have went up to that podium and said, I feel terrible. This happened under my watch. I'm the owner. The buck stops with me. There's no way I should have not known this was happening. We will do X, Y, and Z in the community for the league at large. We want to make sure cheating is not accepted. We are going the extra mile to make sure you understand, we understand the severity of this. He didn't. The Astros players could have come out and said, we understand the gravity of this. We feel awful about this. It went too far. That wasn't our intention. We let it get away from us. We were chasing the ring. We were driven by this and blinded. Instead, excuse, 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 excuse. That's not necessarily Manfred's fault. All of this is to say most of the blame lands on Manfred and the circumstances surrounding him. However, the MLB absolutely has some responsibility here because this is what their union is built to do, as most unions are, defend and protect their clients, their members, at all costs and make life living hell on the employer if they are trying to punish them. And so in this case, Rob Manfred was scared of a fight with the union and was scared of the grievances and was scared of the stonewalling and was scared that if he said, look, I can't grant immunity, but I want to get to the bottom of this, that the union would have said, yeah, that's not going to happen. You can't talk to the players. Or we'll let this go through court of the appeals process and you won't get to the players for another year and a half. And Rob Manfred didn't want this to linger for a year and a half. And he didn't want players stonewalling the questions by saying, I don't know, I don't remember, which the union would have advised its players to do. I don't know, I don't remember. So, Tony Clark, I get it, this is his job. But let's be real here. If the MLBPA wasn't as protective, then it didn't have to happen this way. I mean, let's just say there was no union, which of course there is, and this is kind of a stupid theoretical or hypothetical to go down. But if there was no union, like let's go back to the 1930s. If Kennesaw Mountain Landis wants to investigate, there's nobody in the ear of Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig or whoever saying, don't answer this question. Don't do it. You're putting yourself in don't, whatever you do, we'll protect you. Don't say anything. Say you don't remember. You know, he gets to the bottom of things. And he says, okay, you don't want to talk, I'm going to suspend you. Now, I'm not saying that baseball or sports needs a dictatorship, but I'm saying that the union made this thing squirrely. It made it problematic. It made it hard. Because, I don't know, maybe we didn't need the quote-unquote truth. That's kind of a weird, nebulous thing here. Because Manfred said, I needed the truth. I wanted clarity on the truth. When, if Mike Fiers is willing to talk to The Athletic, it's hard for me to imagine you can't quite get to the truth if there's already a guy on record that was part of it that is going to say even to the media what happened. But okay, how do you get to the truth is you tell your witnesses there's no danger here. There is absolutely no danger. So that's how you get the information out of the players. The only way you can do that is by making sure the union signs off on, okay, they cannot and will not punish you. If the union said, you know what, we want what's in the best interest of our clients at large, our members at large, which is the 29 other teams that got screwed. You know, the Astros only represent 3% of our membership. We want to protect the 97% who got screwed by cheating. So, you know what? You guys, Manfred, league office, do whatever you want. You want to suspend them? Fine. We're protecting the 97%. But that's not what the union was going to do. So, yeah, they stood in the way. They stood in the way of punishment for the players. They stood in the way of clarity on this and punishment for the players. And anything else that, you know, the union claims is nonsense. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We've gotten a lot of good feedback on this Best of podcast, Mraz. And now, yesterday, you actually kind of taped some intros and outros about the podcast and what the segments were going to be about.
Well, not necessarily what the segments were going to be about. It was more generic towards the day.
Oh, okay. So your intros then will be used basically for every Wednesday from here on out. You'll tape one.
Right. That's
okay.
Look, this is a work in progress.
No, I agree.
Yes, I have not done personalized, this is the specific what happened on today's show. That is not to say that will not come. This is more, let's roll this out and see how it goes, very generic. And it's not to say I won't put more work into it or anything like that, but I wanted to see how everything went first.
So far through 2 days, a lot of positive response.
I agree, and a lot of positive downloads. I've been tracking the analytics. Believe me, if there was anybody rooting for this to fail, it would be me. Be
That's
transparent.
Right. That's right.
But it has not failed.
You were rooting for it to fail. How successful has it been? Very successful, kind of successful, somewhat successful?
I would say in the digital world of radio, I would say semi-successful. I mean, for us, I would say, I would just put the blanket successful. It hasn't been like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how many more people are listening to the DA show. But I will admit that I am surprised that our listenership on the podcastable 4 full hours of the show has not taken as big a dive as I would have anticipated with people going, well, screw it, let me just listen to 1 hour and 10 minutes of the best stuff.
What we didn't know was it going to draw a bunch of people away from listening to the full 4 hours.
Sure.
Or would it be, would it gain new listeners? And it has gained new listeners. We are a net positive with having the full 4 hours and the best of. So people are saying, you know what? Not only am I not going to leave because now there's a different option, more people are coming to the new option.
Right. If you were to take last week's shows on Tuesday or Wednesday as of Thursday morning, because that's important, because more downloads can happen as the week goes, because I had to go back and do it. There's a lot of numbers, believe me, the math here. All right.
I think you just took the SAT.
Right. So if you were to play this time last week and looked at last Tuesday and Wednesday's podcast numbers for the DA show on the 4 full hours, and now you look at those numbers this week with the addition of having a best of show to go off of, we are, as far as podcast downloads go, a net positive of an extra 260 downloads.
Okay.
In total. So that tells me that, yeah, more people are finding a way to listen. Maybe because of talking about this, people who listen to the show live are more prone to go, you know what, if I can re-listen to the best hour and 10 of my ride home from work, maybe that's what I want to do. And the people that were still driving to listen to the 4 full hours that don't get us live are still doing that.
Okay.
So I think there could be some of that going on. But ultimately, what we're looking for here, for this to be a success and for me to continue to do the work and put in the work into it, it has to be worth it on a digital scale that we're going to see that there is a positive growth in listeners and not losing listeners over the full hours of the show we've put on.
So far, it's been positive. Positive response, positive downloads, net positive. I will say, Andrew Kaplan, wizardofwatchda.com, suggested the other day you to tape intros and outros of every segment.
Sure.
And I know that that was devastating as a suggestion.
It wasn't devastating as a suggestion because it makes a lot of sense. Would it absolutely, again, create more work for me? Yes, it would. I'm not sure exactly how much more work it really would. Would it be a pain in the tush? I'm sure it would be. In reality, would it take me more than 5 minutes to do it? Probably not. So
only an extra 5 minutes.
I really don't think it would be that devastating. I don't, because you got to, like, I'm listening to the show live. It's pretty easy for me. You know, if it's 10 seconds in out of each segment and slice it together, I really don't think it would be that time consuming. I just am not ready to put all the bells and whistles on something because I just want to make, you know, I don't want to go through everything just to be like, all right, this isn't worth it in a month. I'd rather see it succeed and say, okay, well, now how can we make this better because it's success? That's just my mindset here. So again, we need, much like we just did that segment on the XFL, if ratings are down in week two on the best of and they continue to trend down that way, then maybe we're in AAF and we pull the plug. But if ratings soar and there's room in the podcast world for a spring DA show football league of a best of,
okay,
well, then we grow the product. That's all. So I think, like anything, there's, you don't want to make it the – I'm sorry. I don't want to say that because that's the wrong thing to say. There will be always room to improve something. So right now – I think we're on the ground floor. I want to see how the reaction continues, and then from there we grow it and we improve it.
That seems fair. So you can listen to the best of the DA show, a little over an hour every single day, condensed version of the DA, by going to the same places you get the full podcast downloads, which is Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and all the places podcasts are downloaded. When we come back, we are stunned to a news in the fourth hour, a special fourth hour edition. The DA Show, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
You're about to be zapped.
Oh, DA, I got some exciting news for you. My whole family is listening right now because they know how big of a fan I am of you and Mraz and the show.
We're having a baby, DA. Team us up.
All right. Wow, that is a first. We have never had a baby announcement made over the show.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Remember, you can listen to the DA show across the great CBS Sports Radio network. Also, on SiriusXM, channel 206. And stream us on your phone. Use the radio.com app or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app, or watch us at watchda.com. The proposed NFL playoff structure, where they've added potentially a seventh wild card in both, or a seventh playoff team in both conferences, is fine. Look, it's It's the better alternative if we're eliminating the preseason. But I don't think it's necessary. And I don't necessarily like the idea of one team getting the bye. I think that could be an extraordinary competitive advantage. Of course, we'll have to see how it plays out. But if the one seed consistently gets to the Super Bowl, it might suck some of the drama out of the playoffs. I mean, remember, if you have one team that has the bye and would host both playoff games hypothetically, that every team they play will have already played two playoff games. It could give really powerful teams like the Patriots a significant competitive advantage in the postseason if they're always the one seed. But the other thing that I don't love about this is expanded neutral site games. They're talking about a 17th game. Basically, the owners say, okay, we'll scrap the preseason, but we need to make up the money elsewhere. So a 17th regular season game, which you couldn't really have one team or half the league have an imbalanced amount of more home games than another. So they'd add neutral site games to every team, and that just feels to be very unwieldy. So I need to hear more about the details of the plan before I jump all on board with this. On Twitter, hit us up, DA on CBS. Moose tweets in, DA, can we at least get an update on Meraz's boot camp and weight loss progress? I feel like with all the SAT drama and producer infighting, the story has fallen by the wayside. Hashtag, I have a weird waist. All right, Meraz, so you went into weight boot camp, dietary boot camp, the day after the Super Bowl. What are you down since the day after the Super Bowl?
I'm down one because I had gained since the Super Bowl. I'm down four this week. The real start date was this Monday.
You gained weight after the Super Bowl?
I was off for a week, all right? There was a lot.
So last week you went off the rails.
I wouldn't say I went off the rails, but there was very little structure. I was up every 3 hours, kind of. I took over full daddy duties with a baby that still can't sleep through the night. You know, there was bogus Girl Scout cookies sitting in my fridge that would be poked out as I'm making a bottle. You know, there was just no structure to my life. I have now done a lot of research on true dieting and what I think could work, and I am going all in, legs deep, into this intermittent fasting. And I started on Monday, and from the time Monday morning to now, I am down 4 pounds.
All right.
So
okay.
It's not easy.
So you're not eating after 6:30 at night until 10:30 the next morning.
Right. So traditionally, they will tell you the proper window is an 8-hour window from noon to 8. But since I am up at 3 a.m. as opposed to a 5 or a 6 a.m., we have adjusted accordingly to a 10:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. window. So the whole deal is 16 hours, nothing but water, 8 hours. You know, make smart decisions, but you don't have to starve yourself and get your fix in that 8 hours. And that's what I've done. Now, what it's allowed me to do is last night I was able to have tacos for dinner. I was able to dabble in a cookie in the newsroom. Now, could I totally be eliminating those things? Yes. But under the intermittent fasting, it allows me an avenue where I don't have to deprive my entire body.
That's good.
So it felt like the most reasonable for my lifestyle. And I'm trying. It's not easy in the morning, get through the show, only pounding water, I'm spilling all over my face. But so far, I've seen results. And if I see results, that's going to push me.
If I may again be the annoying rules guy, who's officially in charge of weighing Sean through all of this? Because we've learned our lesson now. I'm not letting anything to chance.
No,
I keep my mouth shut.
Out.
Rubinoff.
Monday morning, I will gladly come in here if you bring in a scale. I'll get on it. And then
I don't
you guys,
want that role.
No, you can check me once a month. Check me once a month. You hold me to it, please. You want to hold me accountable for everything else in the show? Hold me accountable to my health.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a couple of things that just strike me right off the top. Number one, you have never lied about your weight, as far as I know. You've always been very transparent and honest about your weight. So I don't think you're going to go ahead and lie here. Number two, something weird is happening this week where you kind of do sound lucid and responsible and accountable. And I wonder if the diet is it. Like maybe having this time to clear your mind of burning food or eating sweets or whatever is actually creating some personal clarity during these hours because you're not eating food while we're on the air.
You know, maybe I think there's a spinoff of that. I don't want to overthink this because next week could be a disaster. But I will say that in order to not eat until an hour from now, which is when I've been eating, like, I do have to put my focus elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because, look, let's face it, all jokes aside, I do have a bit of a food problem. I think about food often. I'm often hungry. I'm thinking about when my next meal is, what's going on. And I've been known to rip through, you know, a little Eggs Benedict here, maybe a bowl of Special K there. How about a banana here? And oftentimes, I would do postmarks at the DH and go, all right, every hour I could have a little something else. And it may just be a little something, you know, a little something nosh on. A banana, a little granola bar, maybe a couple Cheez-Its sprinkled in my mouth. Now, there's no eating in the morning this week, so all focus has to be, all right, what does DA need to do here? And maybe that is better. If it's a win for the show and it's a win for my body, then I think it's a win for all.
Well, that
chubby, bald little stooge.
That is true. That is true. I just think that you think about eating so much.
I do.
And during these 4 hours, think about it and do it, that when you clear both of those off of your plate because you know you can't eat, it just feels like there's a little bit more of a lucid mirage this week.
Look, potatoes. Same thing I'll say for the Best of DA Show podcast. Much like the XFL, well, let's see if ratings are down. But at least for this week, you're right. I think there's a correlation. Form my own cheese.
Andrew Bogish has our headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. As we were just discussing, all we know right now about the possible new NFL CBA is a win for owners, a 17th regular season game. And two more playoff teams, to be specific. The preseason would drop to 3 games in that new playoff format, which could be in effect for the coming season. 7 teams would make it in each conference. Only the top seed would get a bye. Wild card weekend would be a pair of triple headers. Owners are meeting in New York today to discuss all of this. Player reps reportedly have a conference call scheduled for tomorrow morning. Browns wideout Jarvis Landry revealing on Instagram he had hip surgery 2 weeks ago. Landry expects to return to the field during training camp. He was hoping rest and rehab would be enough, but the hip bothered him again during the Pro Bowl.
Nice. So he will miss all of the offseason camps.
Yes.
Will not work with his quarterback.
Correct.
Will not work for the offense. Oh, perfect. So the Browns season 2020 off to a rousing start.
And not even for the beginning of training camp.
Yeah.
During training camp.
Yeah.
This is a 6 to 8 month process.
So is that a big deal in Browns land?
I don't think so. I mean, they're such a well-oiled machine, well-coached, professional, mature. Just plug them right back in and go.
I actually like the Stefanski hire. It's going to be much better than Kitchens, but I would prefer to have my quarterback and all my wide receivers working together in the offseason if it's such a dumpster fire.
But you know what? They weren't going to anyway. Now at least he has a better excuse.
Fair.
Now OBJ has got to get an injury too, so he can check out of these workouts without any kind of actual backlash.
Because Odell's definitely going, oh, Jarvis ain't going to be there? No,
I'm not going.
No way.
Just the other day, we saw a video of Kevin Durant draining Jays as he works his way back from that torn Achilles, but Durant quickly put the kibosh on any comeback this season in a podcast yesterday. But old friend Steph Curry is almost back from his broken hand. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr says there's no protecting Curry from this lost season.
If he were healthy and we didn't present him to our fans and say, here you go, here's your gift for staying with us for this whole season, what would that say about us, that we don't care about our fans?
Curry broke his left hand back on October 30th. Now, based on the vacation picture he posted earlier this week, which I believe Cap is posting at watchda.com right now, the front of Curry's shorts are already back in the NBA. The rest of him hopes to play again sometime in March. No?
I would.
Anybody? I don't get it. There was a large bulge in the front of Curry's pants.
Oh!
So that's already back in. That's already returned. Thanks for your help, Sean.
Good for Dell.
Good for Dell!
A Dell pickle?
Why would it be good for Dell?
Well, he produced that.
Oh, so you're assuming it was a passed down trait?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the picture's
wasn't
interesting.
Wasn't my first thought. That Dell was the winner in all of that.
The picture is of Steph Curry shirtless in nothing but swim trunks and his wife jumping up on his hips.
Swim trunks. 1970 camp wants their phrase back.
And his wife has jumped up on his hips, and she's in a bikini, and they're smooching, and
they're in a position that is very sultry.
Those two don't need intermittent fasting, put that way in a picture.
This is the most fun I've had in a long time.
And somewhere, Steph's dad is smiling.
Why wouldn't Dell be proud of that? Why wouldn't he be proud of the bulge?
Pardon me?
Right now, the Currys look like a couple from Bogus's Dave Matthews Band concert. That's
I promise you this.
Snuck off the beach.
There was nobody looking like that or doing like that trading bracelets at the Dave show. None of us were athletic looking.
No, Seth Curry goes to the Dave show.
Safely, I think, to college hoops. NC State ran over number 6 Duke last night in Raleigh, 88-66. That's the Blue Devils' worst loss to an unranked team in Coach K's 4 decades.
This game is about human nature and human beings. And sometimes when you eat too much, you're not as hungry. When you need something, you're really hungry. And when those two meet, a lot of times the team that needs it the most kicks the other team's butt.
Speaking
and
of
that's what happened tonight.
Coach K, fasting. My nutritionist.
Oh, baloney.
Sometimes when Sean doesn't eat a lot at night, he needs to eat in the morning. Sometimes when he does intermittent fasting, he feels like he needs to eat all the time.
Number 11, Louisville snapped a 2-game slide last night, 90-66, over Syracuse, where DA and Sam went. My Fordham Rams lost to LaSalle last night, and SUNY Old Westbury took an 87-63 loss from number 17, Yeshiva. That was 2 nights ago.
What happened?
It was just Skyline Conference?
I don't know. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Skyline Conference.
There you go.
Who?
Pardon me?
SUNY Old Westbury, where Sean once matriculated.
Meraz's school lost to Yeshiva?
And Yeshiva, top 25, Division 3 or 2 basketball.
Always a good program. Division 3.
Division 3.
Wow. Okay.
Always good. I mean, they're right up there with SUNY Purchase. That Skyline Conference can be tough year in, year out.
Yeah.
When I went there, it was a good years for the Panthers, you know? But what are you going to do?
I would love if you did a Joe Lenardi bracketology for the Skyline Conference in Division 3.
Everybody gets in.
It was crushing senior year, and we just missed. We lost the Skyline Conference tournament championship game. I was going to call D3 tournament action, and we were crushed. Would have been the moment of my career.
Wow.
I would have gotten to the big dance.
That's not actually considered the big dance.
Well, we call smallish. It the slightly yeah. dance.
The smallish dance.
It's a Jock Alone dance.
Punch your ticket to the smallish dance. It's the Jock Alone selection show. Steph Curry's pants will not be in this selection.
The big dance is Schwartz. Sean handles Division 2, and then Jock Alone D3.
Jock Alone hands his tie to the winner of the Division III championship.
A 30 rack he'll handle.
Persistent discomfort in his right knee led Roger Federer to have his...
Jock Alone hands like one of those clown ties that only go like halfway up your chest. He calls the game and hands it to Yeshiva at the end. Congratulations, what an honor to call your games in the smallish tournament. The smallish dance.
He ends it in half an unsmoked pack of Jody Mac cigarettes to the winner.
The youngest Hanson brother. Calling the games with Jock Alone. The oldest Hanson brother calls the games in the big dance with Nance. The smallish dance. Next. One kind of shining moment. Half a shining moment.
Bumping the XFL to FS4.
What were you saying about Federer?
I don't know. He had knee surgeries out until the spring.
Grass season.
The grass season, to be more specific, from the NHL.
Which is also what Greg Robinson was trying to promote in Mexico. Pineapple sun death.
Speaking of Mr. Robinson, let's be stunned.
It's
doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Everything is less stunning than Greg Robinson this morning, but here we go anyway. A local contractor stunned to find jars and jars of preserved human tongues in a crawl space while examining the foundation of a house. Jacksonville, Florida police
Come on.
Also stunned by the discovery, but it appears
Native Floridian Sam Rubinoff cheering, we're back. We got back into stunned by a news.
But it appears that there's nothing evil or nefarious about this at all. The tongues appear to have belonged to a former University of Florida professor. His ex-wife still lives in the house. The doctor had gotten the tongues way back in the 60s for research, stored them underneath the house because it was cool and dry there, and then they forgot until this poor contractor thought he was creeping and crawling his way into a house of horrors jars of tongues buried underneath it.
Oh, God, that is awful.
I would have left immediately and never worked again.
So it's fairly terrifying that back in the 60s, that this many people had their tongues cut out after they passed away.
The guy was a pathologist, so like, you know, yeah, cadaver tongues in goo in a jar to study them.
Oh no.
Oh, and how many tongues do you have to study?
It just said jars and jars. It did not give an actual number. I was hoping for a weight so we could make another Jocalone reference, but there's no specifics.
Could you imagine coming across, if you thought it was a cow tongue, it might be a little bit better, even though every time I see cow tongue in the supermarket, I kind of vom anyway. But,
No, but you're under a house, it's dark, there's cobwebs, you're like got a flashlight going, checking the foundation, and you turn, and your light catches a jar of tongues.
Right, like imagine one of those tongues could have been French kissing in 1918, and then it ends up cut off years later, and under the crawl space of a house. Isn't the world a magical thing?
Well, I would say that all of those tongues were likely French kissing at some point
right?
in their lives.
And think about that. Your tongue is used to French kiss, chopped off after you're dead. Pathologist puts it underneath the crawl space in his house, and it ends up sitting there for years. Like, think about that. That is some trial and error.
I'm not going to think about that. That's really not one of my first thoughts off this story. But
so heinous.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's horrifying. Only in Florida.
Only, and again, congrats to Del Curry.
Home of the Jacksons. Jacksonville, Florida.
How many years is Jacksonville? Never mind.
Been around?
Like for a doctor to have or a scientist to have had tongues under it, like that means people were dying in Jacksonville in like 1910.
Right. What was it called back then too? Because it was clearly hadn't been named for the Jackson family yet in the 60s and 70s.
But Florida, I mean, how underdeveloped must it have been back then? It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
Well, Bogus just said this happened in the 60s, so it's not that long ago.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the tongues having been...
Well, they don't have to come from, like, your neighbor down the street. Those tongues could probably
I'm
come
sure
from...
I'm sure they're local tongues.
Local tongues. Greg tweets, DA, Steph and Aisha Curry weren't smooching. Look at the picture again. She's licking his forehead, which makes the whole thing even weirder. That's indeed correct.
And do we know who took the picture? Who is the third wheel on this Curry makeout
Dave
session?
Dave Matthews' guitarist.
No...
The caption is also, vacation vibes with my one and only, like that.
Yeah, you know what? Sam is right in my ear. It was probably Del Curry taking a picture of his son proudly.
He certainly looks like he's liking that right now. When we come back, advanced analytics behind the poll question today. Do you like fighting on the radio in the morning? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
After we had Pete Prisco want to fight about the Bengals and Joe Burrow earlier this morning, and I try to kind of run away from that because I didn't think that you guys wanted to hear fighting on the radio this early in the morning. We asked you on the poll question, do you want to hear people yell at one another on morning sports talk? 67% on Twitter said, no, we do not. On Facebook, a little closer, 57% said no. Now, a recent study of the effects of yelling can cause chronic pain, can lead to depression, and yelling ups your risk of stroke, heart failure, and weakens the immune system. So not wanting to hear yelling and not yelling, better for everybody's health. appreciate the feedback, everybody, on our poll question today. You can vote at CBS Sports Radio. So, we did this story on Greg Robinson, the Cleveland Browns offensive lineman, who, by the way, has made tens of millions of dollars in his pro football career, drafted number two overall by the St. Louis Rams back when they were in St. Louis. So he does not need to be moving lots of weed across the border for distribution, but he did. Nailed at the border near El Paso on 157 pounds of weed. 157! So we brought in Billy Giacalone, one of our assistant producers here on CBS Sports Radio, who stands at 5'6 and a buck 55. And the comparisons were obvious.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
But do you think that that first guy knew that there was that much weed?
Right, well, when you have a full Giacalone, it just comes flying out of the car. Anyone can smell it on the highway.
Right, as I say, if the dog sniffed it that quickly, I'm assuming they know there's a Giacalone's worth of weed back there.
Because I don't play. I don't joke around.
That's at least a Giacalone.
And also, you know, you watch enough of these weed movies, and they all got the different types of weed, the different flavors and stuff like that. Like, is 157 pounds, is that all the same? Is that like Mr. Holland's Opus weed? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know, pineapple sun death and all this other stuff. Like, is it all the same weed at 157 pounds?
Well, that's it's called a strain, Sean.
You do not walk on me in this building.
No, you don't.
I matter here.
All right.
Oh, okay. All right, Billy.
All right. Bud Lights, you say.
Pineapple sun death. Do you want some of that? That's the good strain. So, Billy, 155 pounds of weed. Once upon a time, we measured you as two Giacalones equal to Meraz.
Correct. Correct.
Now, do we remember what that math was? That was the overnight days. Do we remember?
I used to weigh somewhere near 290 when I worked overnight.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes. Okay, so were you ever in the 145 range?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so at that point in time, two Giacalones equal to Meraz.
Yeah. Now Giacalone's creeping closer to me.
Well, Billy finally went through puberty, so now he's at 155.
So once upon a time, it was two Giacalones to one Meraz, but if he's had some Bud Lights and you're on intermittent fasting...
Stop destroying my favorite burrito place. If it doesn't live, I don't live.
You guys are getting closer together.
Right. One Giacalone might equal one Meraz.
No.
That's like 1.8 Giacalones.
That's 100 years from now.
It's a little closer, but we still got a wide one. Like, I gotta kill a lot of 30 racks before I get to that point.
And Meraz has to starve himself for 30 years.
Freaking Moe's stinks. They got no flavor in their chicken, no flavor in their beef.
You guys are equal.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Cigar City Capo tweets, perhaps by the year 3000, a Giacalone will be equal to a Meraz. Hashtag puffiness with sodium.
Puffiness with sodium.
Denisio tweets, all about that OG Kush Platinum Cookie, Sour Diesel, all that good stuff.
Pineapple sun death.
Warren tweets, if he had 157 pounds of weed, he definitely had multiple strains of dope. Imagine making tens of millions of dollars in your NFL career and deciding, you know what's a good idea? Trying to distribute 150 pounds of weed at the Mexico border. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, guys, every time I cross the international border, coming or going, I never have seen any drug-sniffing dogs. Now, when you're on the U.S. side, Border Patrol has drug-sniffing dogs at their checkpoints. Hashtag 157, hashtag fully clothed Giacalone. Yeah, since Giacalone's only at 155, we had to make up the extra 2 pounds. Bogus seemed to think that, you know what, fully clothed Giacalone's probably at 157. I said, just hold 4 quarter pounders in each hand. We got you at the official 157. Hemsky also adds, is listening to a condensed DA show like watching an NFL game taped on DVR? No commercials, all prime cuts. Hashtag, it's a hard candy. Yeah, I guess in some ways it is. And you'll have a condensed version, the best of the DA show, for today's download pleasure as well. Thanks to Sean Meraz, executive producer of the DA show. Thanks to Sammy Rubinoff on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on headlines. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.